I deal with depression and anxiety. In this episode of Vertical View, I'm going to be talking publicly for the first time with Mr. Dan Scott in an interview from 2018, which happened on Dan's show, The Dan Scott Show. Dan, first off, is a good friend, but he's also a 33-year veteran of media in print, digital, and broadcast, and also hosts his own show, while also working as the director of broadcasting and play-by-play at Furman University. Prior to Furman, Dan spent 7 years on the Clemson University baseball and women's basketball broadcasts, plus served as studio host for network football pregame and postgame shows. He also hosted a daily talk show on the Clemson flagship station for 11 years. And he is more than a decade under his belt as an award-winning sports editor and writer. Most importantly, Dan's a Christian, and his prayer is that his show and his website would grow into something that can be used for God's glory and to make a difference in the lives of others. And so back in 2018, I went to Dan to share my battle with depression and anxiety. So if you're ready, I know I am, let's get vertical.
Broadcast it live.
Hey, who wants to have some fun?
There are balls coming from all over the place. Left field, center field, right field. See, this is the kind of thing, quite honestly, right now, that makes you want to see the Chicago Cubs team lose.
Now, are you just saying you want to have fun, or do you really want to have fun?
It'll be fun.
Will the next person that sees anybody throw anything onto this field, point them out, or get them out of here? You don't live in Cleveland. Get out of Cincinnati.
You talking to me? You talking to me?
That is the farthest thing in the universe from the truth.
Hello, everyone. Live, it's the Dan Scott Show. And right there is your host, Dan Scott.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Dan Scott Show. I am Dan. Good to have you with us. And it's good to be back after taking the last week off. It was exam week over at Furman. I had a graduation weekend to try and survive down in Charleston with my youngest daughter, Rebecca, graduating from the nursing school at Charleston Southern. So we took last week off. Yesterday was a paperwork day, catch-up day at the office, but we are back today and for the next couple of days anyway after this live here, and looking forward to getting back at it. Tomorrow on the program, Scott Keeler of the Furman Sports Report will be joining us, and we'll be talking a bunch of different things from a Furman standpoint, including the women's golf program, which teed off just about 40 minutes ago in round two of the NCAA tournament down in Tallahassee. Top eight teams advance out of the regionals to the finals there. I'll also talk Furman baseball, and then on Thursday, Brett Harker will join us to help preview the baseball series with ETSU on the road this weekend. But a couple of things that you may have noticed. Number one, I'm in the home studio, which is still not complete, but we're getting it there. And number two, we started the show a half an hour later than normal, and it was to accommodate the guy on my right, your left on the screen here, longtime friend and a not as frequent guest as we would like, but still a frequent enough guest on the program, the athletic director at Southern Wesleyan University, Chris Williams, joining us. How are you, sir?
I'm all right.
Good. You came directly from the office, thus the tie. You're dressed way, way too well for this program.
Yeah, but I'm wearing shorts so that nobody can see that piece of it. It's just like all the Sports Center guys, right?
Yeah, yeah. So all you see is
we won't,
you
know, stand up
from here down. Anyway, it's good to see you again. Family's,
thank you.
Family's,
thank you.
Well, I hope
we're good. We're stronger than we used to be.
Well,
and I think that's one of the things that family does, particularly as we get into this topic today, is you surround one another and you forge ahead together. And so my kids are good. I'm looking forward to a graduation from my daughter here at the end of the month. Graduates from Daniel High School, and so we're extremely proud of her, as you are of your daughter, and it'll be a special time for us.
Well, you always want, I think, your kids to be better and have the opportunity to be better than you were. And I don't have a college degree, but I can say now that both of my children do. My oldest daughter is a Southern Wesleyan grad, Rebecca just graduated with a nursing degree, a BSN in nursing, down at Charleston Southern. So we're really, really excited. And if you know anything about her, it wasn't going to be just go down for the graduation ceremony. It was an entire weekend of stuff in Charleston. So we had a good time. It was exhausting, but it was fun. But it's good to be back and good to get into this. And I want to start by publicly thanking you, not only for your friendship over low these many years and your willingness to always come on the program. And when you do, we're always talking about faith and sports. But in this particular instance, because it's been a long time since you and I have talked, and I'm assuming as we get into the topic, this is going to be one of the reasons that we haven't talked in a while. But Chris is talking publicly for the first time about what is an ongoing battle with both depression and anxiety issues that he's been battling for, what, about 2 years now, right?
As far as I can tell, 2 years, yes. And I do appreciate the time to be able to talk today. It will be the first time that I've actually talked outside of what I would call a smaller circle of people. And so it'll be a little nerve-wracking for me. At the same time, I feel like God's put it on my heart now as I continue to go through this, is to try to share it with others, maybe even singularly to express that if you have some of these feelings or thoughts, that you are not alone. I often thought I must be crazy, and why can't I do this, and felt less of myself, and I felt like God had felt less of me. And so if that happens, that maybe one person today can hear some of the things that I've gone through, that I'm going through, and it helps, then that's why I want to do it.
Well, let's go back a bit, because you say the best you can figure this has been going on for about 2 years. For those of us who know you, and granted, I don't get to see you on an everyday basis, but I'll just, from my standpoint, I see a guy who, yeah, he's running around like the proverbial chicken with his head cut off, because he's the athletic director at a university, and you had the transition and all of those things from NAIA to Division II, and now that ship is rolling and sailing, and everything is moving in the right direction there. But it was an incredible amount of work. I saw a guy who I was worried that he was exhausting himself, but I also saw a guy, Chris, who always had a smile on his face. And as I was doing some research this morning, it's kind of backed up what I thought that I knew. You know, one common thing about many people who suffer from depression and or anxiety is they're really good about hiding it in public.
Yeah, and I don't even know if I was hiding it.
Yeah.
I think you and I were talking earlier before we came on that I don't even know. I didn't know what I was in, and I struggled with just being at home after a day of work, whatever that looked like for all of us, and struggled with sitting and actually hanging out with my family. I've got 5 kids, and so it's a little busy in our house, and I found myself moving from the living room and back to the bedroom and just saying at 8:30, I'm tired, I'm going to go to bed,
yeah.
Which in reality was me not being able to focus because my head was spinning and the anxiety level in my chest was rising. Not because of my kids, but because of the uncontrollable thought patterns that I was in. Some of it from the things that happened at work, some of it from the worry of I'm almost 50 and what am I going to do with my life, to how am I going to support my kids to get through college, all of those things flowing out of control in my mind and continuing to elevate. And so for a number of years, I was just going through that and starting to think, well, I can get through this by myself. because I'm a former athlete, and that's what we're taught to do. And so you continue to just do the grind. And I'm going to be honest, too, at times that's what most people would say to me. Oh, you're good. You're good. Just keep grinding. Keep grinding. I wasn't okay. And the day that my wife basically called it, there was this huge relief that someone else, as well as myself, could put some kind of name on this thing. Mm-hmm. I remember being in the doctor's office. I finally got a primary doctor, which I'd never had, and went in, and we started talking, and he just said, you're clinically depressed with sleep deprivation, which then adds to your anxiety levels.
And I thought, whoa.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means. And as then I got into counseling, and a lot of other things started to transpire, a plan wasn't put into place. I stepped away from work for a few days, which ended up being 2 weeks, and really started to focus on where am I and what do I need to get back on a healthier path. Mm-hmm. And it's mental health, physical health, and also spiritual health. And that's real. And for years I thought that it's not real. It's not real. It's a weakness in me that I can't handle this. I remember being on the show, and we often talked about finding balance. And now that I look back on those times talking to you, I thought, was I preaching to myself? And I knew I was, but at the same time, I don't know if I was doing anything about it.
Yeah.
And I think as a male, again, that's the thing in particular in U.S. culture, that's what your expectation, you're taught. You got to keep going. And you go to a point of exhaustion at times. And it's almost become that's expected. You're available 24 hours a day, 365 days a week or a year, and that you just have to keep going.
And we're tethered by these things.
Correct. Correct. You always have to be accessible. Mm-hmm. Email, text, even social media. That we're on today.
It has its uses for good, and it also has its uses for the forces of evil, as they used to say on Justice League of America.
So I found, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I found myself in a point where I felt like all of this was stealing the joy of my life. So it gets back to your point about, I do think I'm someone who is energetic, who has a smile on his face, who's ready to get in there. And in particular, the things that I really love to do is to be in a room and work the room. And I found I was pulling away from some of those things because I didn't have the energy, I didn't have the confidence, I didn't have the desire even. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that, now that I've been going, I've named it, is music has allowed me to really reconnect with positive thoughts, but also even of my own heart and soul to be energized. And I've been listening to 10th Avenue North a lot. And if anybody's ever listened to them, I'd really encourage you to listen to their Followers album. And in that, there's a song called Nobody Can Steal My Joy, or Nothing Can Steal My Joy. And it's something that has really resonated with me. Another song on there, because I'm a control freak, talks about opening your hands. And physically, when I listen to the song now, I open my hands. And you're basically giving the control of your life back to him, because I've stolen it from him, mm-hmm. trying to control all of these things. And realizing that whatever it is, whatever my little life is, he has control in it. So those have been just a few things that I've been working through and trying to get myself moving forward again.
You know, as I'm sitting here listening to you talk and talk about the genesis of this thing, you know, the part about being an athlete obviously resonates, because you're right, as an athlete you're taught to fight through the walls, you're taught to fight through the boundaries that have been set, both physically and mentally, to become the best that you can be, and always, hey, if you take a break even for a minute, half an hour, an hour, a day, somebody else is always working to outwork you. So that resonates. The other part of it that resonates is something else that you touched on. As men, we don't like to admit that we may have a problem or an issue. And it's something, again, I'm supposed to keep this inside. I've got a family to support. I've got a job to do. And I'm just going to, again, grind through it. And I think that's one of the big, big problems that we have in this country today, quite honestly, with men in all aspects of life, especially inside the church, is they and I'm guilty of it. You always hear let go and let God, and yet we still try to compartmentalize everything and do it ourselves. We'll give God some things, but we won't give him everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I agree. And what I found through counseling, my counselor is fantastic. I never thought I would be in counseling. I never thought I was that guy. And even with somebody with a very little bit of counseling background, and my wife has a very little bit of counseling background, I thought, well, I'd never do that. It's for crazy people. And I would now put myself in that. Well, I'm not saying I'm crazy, but I enjoy going to talk with my counselor and to unpack things.
Yeah.
And as a male in particular, we don't want to do that. We're scared of that. I've been asking for help, but I didn't even know why I was asking for help. And like you said, I just continued plowing through. Often I was internalizing pressure, and it just kept mounted up and mounted up. I got to a point where the anxiety was paralyzing me, and the pressure continued to build and build and build. It's funny, even yesterday I had an athletic director reach out to me who is a couple years ahead of the process that Southern Wesleyan's been through. He and I actually spoke at convention, NCAA convention, in January. I'd never spoken to this guy very much at all. And he sought me out. And we sat down and had a conversation. He started asking me all these questions. Are you feeling this? Are you feeling that? You look like you're burned out. And I thought, how do you know all of this? He said, because I've been there. And I can see it in you. And as I started to think about some of the things he said to me, I looked around the landscape, and this is just my little world, you know, in college athletics, ADs who had moved their programs from NAI, let's say, to the NCAA D2 in this transition, they either retired, got fired, or changed jobs. And I thought, I wonder why. And he exposed to me that worry was running my life. He exposed to me that the pressures, the anxiety, even at a small little Christian school in Central South Carolina, we put all of that pressure on ourselves, and we think that everybody else is putting that pressure on, and it is paralyzing, and in some ways it was starting to kill me. And I don't say that lightly, because in my very darkest days, I just thought, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. Does anybody even notice? Does anybody care? And I just started to continue to shrink and shrink and shrink into myself. And I stopped doing all the things that I loved, and it was stealing my joy. And I'm here today to tell you that I'm I'm not 100%. So if you ask me, you asked me, how are you doing? And I said, okay. I'm not awesome, but I'm not horrible.
Yeah.
But if my wife was saying this last night, I answer it pretty upfront. And if you want to know, I'll tell you. But don't ask me how I'm doing unless you really want to know. So I apologize for that.
Well, no, because, you know, it's relevant in our everyday life. It's relevant in our church life. You pass somebody in the hallway at church or at work. How you doing? Fine.
Yeah.
You know, did you really want to know, or is it just a rote behavior greeting and response that we do? Well, I don't want this person to think I don't like them, so I'm going to ask them how they're doing.
Right.
But I'm going to keep walking while I'm doing it.
Right.
So, yeah, I get that.
And so when I first got, I'm going to use the word diagnosed or figured it out or started to put some pieces together, my wife really, because I'm a control guy, I was at a point where I couldn't make decisions. And she started to make those decisions for me, and I was so thankful for that. But it was to the point where I was embarrassed to see people. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And here I am, somebody who is usually wearing all the swoo blue stuff and out and about, and I've got it on my coffee mug, and I was to the point where I didn't know what to tell people. And I felt like a failure because I couldn't handle it anymore. And so for the first couple days, I couldn't wear swoo stuff. Maybe one or two people knew what was going on. I honestly felt abandoned by God. I was angry. And I think that's what I would like to tell people, is that it is real. It's real. It's not something that's just made up. Like I would always get frustrated. My ankles never swelled, right? So when I played ball back in college, my ankles never swelled, so coach never believed I had a sore ankle. It's a little bit like what I felt over the last few years, and even now, that when I talk about this with just people one-on-one, I get the feeling that sometimes people think, what? That would never happen to me, or I don't even know if that's real.
Mm-hmm.
I would venture to say there's more people going down the path to this point, and I hope it doesn't happen to people. But the way we're living life and the way we're just burning the candle on both ends, people are heading that direction. And people in my industry in particular coaches, because I've been in this 25 plus years now, you're taught to come in early, leave late, outwork the other guy or other lady, and you're just busting it. And when do you really take time to fill yourself up?
Yeah.
I was meeting with Matt Campbell this morning, had some coffee with him, and Mac is the FCA director of the Foothills. He's been a great inspiration to me, and he said, it's like when you get on the plane, what do they tell you if you ever have to use the oxygen? Drops out of the ceiling, I guess. He says, you have to help yourself first. And I needed to take some time, and I needed to help myself. And I needed other people to come alongside me and help me. And I didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And so
we don't know how to ask for help, do we?
No. The very people who wanted to help, I wasn't allowing to help me.
Yeah.
And that has been amazing to me. So a little shout out to some of my friends. It's been amazing to me, the people who have come alongside, whether they're 16 hours away. Even my brother-in-law, who was in Ireland at the time, it's been amazing to allow people to fill you up. At the same time, rediscovering that God just wants me. So there's another song by 10th Avenue North, because I started to believe that He didn't want me or He couldn't use me. And it's the song of the Sparrow song. And that the sparrow eye is on me. I'm trying to find it in my notes, and it is powerful. Even one morning I walked out of my house and this bird flew right at me, and it was a sparrow, and he landed right in front of me. And before, I would have never noticed it, mm-hmm. because I'm way too busy, I'm way too important. But that day I realized that God was watching me, and he sent me a little messenger of a bird, and that he's real. And I think sometimes as we go through life, we lose all of that. And even now, Dan, as I've tried to work my way back, I find myself missing these things again. For what? For my own glory. And so I hope that I can just be here today to express to people, if you're heading in this area, reach out, talk about it, get into counseling, find some ways to find balance. I was talking with a young man the other day who's got two young kids, and I just approached him and said, I feel like you're moving down this road. Mm-hmm. I can see it in you. You were me 10 years ago. You'd go home at night after a day of work, spend time with the kids, 9 o'clock hits, do some emails. Why? Because there's an expectation. There's the pressure. There's the thought, I got to do more. What's it going to matter if I do that? Well, it matters because you're not filling yourself up. You're married to someone and you're not spending time together. Even if you were just to watch a show, which my wife and I now do, you're spending time together.
Right.
And so what does that do to your relationship if you don't? And so I would just say evaluate every single thing with your balance. And do you really have balance? Or are you really searching for balance? Or are you just doing life and the grind? That's what I was doing.
This is Chris Williams. He is the athletic director at Southern Wesleyan University here in Central South Carolina, which is right on the doorstep of Clemson here in the upstate of the state of South Carolina. When we come back, we will continue this conversation, and what I'd like to do, if it's okay, is talk about how all this was affecting your family before your wife stepped in and you started the road to getting better. Maybe how it was affecting your job performance, and as we go to break on the screen, while the commercials are playing, you guys are going to see a couple of different graphics come up. One's going to be some facts on depression. One is going to be some facts on anxiety. And then also, as we continue in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about looking at this from a Christian perspective. I found an article out of Relevant Magazine, Christianity Today picked up on it, and it's 5 things that Christians need to know about dealing with anxiety and depression. So we'll do all that when we come back. This is the Dan Scott Show, and we'll return in just a moment.
Holding, number 79, defense, first down. I'm also holding a party tonight.
Great call by the official. Looks like we've got another flag on the field.
Holding a Pepsi. Necessary refreshment.
Hey, Ted, bring some of that Pepsi to my party.
Pepsi and the NFL. Welcome to the Fun Doesn't End Zone.
The Atlanta Bread Company wants to make your dining experience as convenient as possible, especially if you're ordering takeout. Go online to atlantabreadcompany.com, place your order there, and pay for it too. Then, when you get to the restaurant at Cherrydale Point, you breeze right by the cash registers and go straight to the pickup counter where your food will be waiting. And speaking of food, try the new Shrimp Po' Boy, a delicious and surprisingly healthy addition to the already great menu. That's the Atlanta Bread Company, Cherrydale Point in Greenville. When the Furman baseball team goes on the road, it travels safely, comfortably, and with the latest technology with Jeans Tours and Charters. Jeans has been a Furman favorite for decades and has serviced Furman baseball for over 20 years. Take it from head coach Brett Harker. Book your next road trip with Jeans. Jeans Tours and Charters, online at jeansbussvc.com or call 864-242-1673. Jeans Tours and Charters, servicing the upstate since 1980.
If you've been sidelined by an injury, the St. Francis Sports Medicine Team is here 24/7 to get you back on the field. Our highly trained network of physicians, athletic trainers, and physical therapists treat all types of sports-related injuries, even those that don't occur from playing a sport. Call the St. Francis Hurt Line at 675-HURT for priority appointments or at-home advice. Again, that's 675-HURT.
All right, welcome back to the show. I am Dan Scott. I just want to mention my sponsors. I'm kind of doing this without doing the live commercials, but the show is brought to you by our friends at the Atlanta Bread Company. I'll tell you how good the Atlanta Bread Company is, Chris. We decided we wanted them to be the main focus of the graduation party that we had, so we got tubs of their wonderful chicken salad and trays of these giant cookies, which, by the way, I still have out there.
I saw them out there.
So it's kind of like our green room. You got coffee, you got cookies.
Nothing but the best at the Dan Scott Show.
You're ready to go. And we packed them all up, and we took it with us at the chicken salad in ice and took it down there, and it was an absolute hit. So thanks to Atlanta Bread Company, to Ridge Media, to Hall's Chop House, to Security Complete, and to the Walk a Mile project, and obviously we'll be telling you a lot more about all of those folks in the coming days. We are talking, though, very specifically at length for the entire show today with Chris, who again is the athletic director at Southern Wesleyan University, about his ongoing battle with depression and anxiety issues. And this is the first time that he's spoken publicly about this, and again, I can't tell you how much it means to me that you trusted our relationship to come and do this for the first time. As we were scrolling through during the break, graphics on depression, which you can see affects over 18 million adults in the U.S. That's one in every 10. The leading cause of disability, and you can see the suicide and homicide rates there. But the one that kind of struck me on the anxiety one is that you, if these numbers are correct, you are in a vast minority of people who actually receive treatment. You can see it on the screen there, just 36.9, basically 37% of those with anxiety disorders receive treatment. And when I showed you that a minute ago, your comment was, "I can believe it."
Yeah.
Why can you believe it?
I mean, I wasn't going to go, and I just denied it. I denied that there was a problem or an issue, something that I was needing to deal with, and I just thought I could do it on my own. You know, there's another song Toby Mac sings. He says, "Every time I try to go alone, I get shot down, locked up, and held captive in the clutches of my own down. We go back, we go forth, we go back, I get sick with vertigo. Weary of my days, my ebbs and flows." And this is the part where I finally got to, is I want to feel a new day. I want to live a new way. And when you read a little bit of why he wrote that song, he just says he was reminded of God's grace, which gives me courage to get back up. And so often, though, we don't go there.
On our Facebook Live feed, you are getting, as you can see, some nice comments from Conatha, Linda, Mary, earlier Chris, David had checked in. If you have a comment, if you have maybe a question for Chris, and you'd like to drop it into the Facebook Live feed, you can do that. You can tweet them to at Dan Scott Show, or you can those would be the two best ways. Just leave them on the Facebook Live feed, or tweet them to Dan Scott Show, and we'll pass them along to Chris. But I'm guessing, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, but as you emerged from your shell and started to let, I guess, your inner circle know what was going on, and would I be correct to say that the support has been very, very good?
It's been good. It's been hard. What my counselor called reentry, mm-hmm. Because I was really isolated for a couple of weeks as I tried to work through some medication that helped me to sleep, as well as to just slow my mind and keep it from circling and getting into repetitive thoughts, which a lot of times ended up being negative. And so after those few weeks, I was actually starting to feel some of the effects that would help me then become more focused, mm-hmm. and moving forward. When I did re-enter work or life in general, it was really weird to be around people because I didn't know who knew what. And then, so some of those, the paranoia and anxiety kind of rose again when I tried to re-enter.
Yeah.
Because I thought everybody thought I was weird or that I might have this breakdown right in front of them. I didn't know if things would really change, right? And mm-hmm. I thought, well, I'll just get right back into this. And so there was doubt. And I didn't know, there was so many questions, I just didn't know when I would be ready. How long will it take? Will I live with this the rest of my life? And some of those things I still don't have answers to.
And you still don't.
Correct. And I'm just trying to continue to walk forward, and it'll sound very cliche, Christianese. I'm very much trying to trust God. That's super hard. Because I just want to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But yet at the same time, I am better. And I think I feel stronger for being in what I would call a weak state. He's building me up, even in my own weakness. I believe that. I just need to continue to put it into practice every day.
Your weakness, but His strength.
Yeah.
And again, sometimes we want to reverse those, don't we?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
You mentioned earlier that you got to a point where you felt like God abandoned you. I remember Billy Graham talking about his time during the Bible school that he attended down in Florida, about a little place out in the woods that he would go and, in his words, have it out with God, over things that were going on in his life or doubts that he may have or this, that, and the other. Did you find yourself having it out with God?
Yeah, actually, that's a hilarious question that you go there, is that I don't like being out in the woods. In fact, I'd probably say I hate it. And my wife is the exact opposite, and most of my kids are the exact opposite. They love to walk in the woods and see nature and be nature. I want to be on a 5-star resort. But my counselor said, you got to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to get away. So I started walking the trails just down from my house, Issaquena Trails. And if you've never been there, they're fantastic,
yeah,
by the way. And yes, I went down there and I loved it. But yeah, there was some handshaking and questioning. There wasn't some, there was a lot. Like, what is going on? How did I get here? What are you trying to teach me? Show me some answers. If I'm completely transparent, which I'm trying to be, I just want to know what he wants from me. And I believe that some of the reason why I have gone through this and continue to go through it is that there are people who need to know and to reassess themselves and to get help. And if I can help people with that, then I want to do that. Hopefully I can.
Before we get to the article in Relevant Magazine, I ask you how it affected your family. But before you got the diagnosis, as you were going through this and not knowing what you were going through, how did it affect your family? How did it affect your relationship with your family? And people have to know, he's got a wonderful wife and about 1,000 kids. So, really only, what, 5?
Yeah.
But it seems like 1,000 sometimes.
Well, and I appreciate you saying that about my family. I think I'll go back to a statement I made. I think that we all feel like we're super busy, and that the things that we do, that we are in our heart of hearts, we believe that we're doing them for the betterment of our family. And I think in my little world, the struggle is that I feel like sometimes I'm raising other people's kids maybe more than I'm raising my own. Mm-hmm.
Can I interject something before you go on?
Yeah.
Because you talked about earlier coaches burning out.
Yeah.
And the first time that I can recall hearing a coach use that term was when Dick Vermeil stepped down from the Philadelphia Eagles all those years ago. And the famous story on that was that they were watching film one day, and all of a sudden he screamed, "Stop, run that back." And they ran it back, and he said, "Freeze it there." And it was a picture of his son was on the screen. And he said in that moment he did not or had not realized how big his son has gotten. And that was one of the things that triggered to him that he had to readjust his priorities because he was missing all that time with his family. I just want to kind of interject that as you're talking about your family now.
Yes, and it's something I've tried to share with my own coaches and other coaches is that that has to maintain and be in the front and center, because it's way too easy just to be consumed by the everyday, the next recruit, the game film, the travel, the winning and losing, and the anxieties that, and the worry and the doubt that comes with that. Mm-hmm. And even the celebration, you know. I remember one story from coaching maybe 15 years ago, and my daughter, Emma, was being baptized at the church, which is right on campus, Wesleyan Church there, and we had a game that night. And the church knew we had a game, and so they were trying to wait for me to get there. It's probably a 200-yard dash from the gym to the church, where mm-hmm. it used to be. Well, it ended up being one of those games where, and I think Kenitha Ball, who showed up online here just a second ago, I think she played on that team, and there was like 50, 60 fouls between the two teams, right? And so the game went forever. Well, as soon as the game was over and we went through the line, shook hands, I sprinted out of the gym and ran over to the church, and I was late. It had already happened. And so why couldn't I have left and let the assistant coaches do the end of the game? What is more important? What do I always tell Kenitha and a number of my players and even my coaches today? Family is more important than anything. but yet I missed it. You asked how would it affect my family even recently. I think that they've sacrificed. It's part of it, right? Like, my kids will come to games with me and they'll work, you know, they'll run a camera, and that's what we do. At the same time, I've come home and I think everybody out there listening would get this, like, you get home, you just want to sit on the couch. I found I was doing that way too much, and I wasn't out playing wiffle ball with my kid. I wasn't present. I'd come late to an event, or I'd leave early because I had to go and do this. And those things have to get done, but I was sacrificing family. But my family was supporting me even through that, understanding it.
Mm-hmm.
So when this all kind of went down, we needed to have a family meeting and kind of get the kids in, because all of a sudden dad's at home all the time, and that's weird because dad's never home. And so we had a family meeting, and all the kids instantly freaked out, you know, we're moving, or what am I gonna do about school, or, you know, mom and dad are, some things aren't good. And so we had to calm them down with that, and just told them that dad's been struggling with sleep and anxiety, and he's clinically depressed, and this is what that means, and that he's working through with counseling and medication and time away, and refocus. And I had to be honest, my kids just stepped up big time, and were very articulate into me in their support, but also how proud they were. I mean, for a 18 and 20 year old to sit there and tell me how proud they were that I was working through this, and that I would tell them, even to the point where my daughter Emma has just shared these pictures, as she puts them in my journal.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I bought it. I don't like green necessarily, but green's been the newest thing for me. I don't know why. It's just God's put a green on me. It says live, love, and laugh. That's what I want for my life. So that's why I bought that journal. But my daughter has been giving me these pictures. And this first one is...
See if we can get a little closer to the camera.
Yeah, first one is me and her a long, long time ago, and then just different pictures throughout the years. And she writes me little notes.
And how old is she?
Goodness, don't ask me stuff like that. I'm going to say 18. I apologize if I don't know.
Oh, she'll let you know.
Yes. But you made a statement to say, man, you wish your kids were better than you. They're better than me. And that adds joy to my life.
Yeah.
So we are walking through this together. We don't, it's not perfect. We don't understand it totally, but we're doing it together. And I hope that I can be informational to my own kids, so that when they get to be a little older, or even if they're dealing with some of these things now, that they can feel free to go a little deeper and to try to figure these things out, and to know that it's not wrong, that you're not crazy, and that you're not by yourself.
When you reached out to me via text last week and said we needed to get together and do this, and you told me what was going on, and that you wanted to share, was that hard for you to do? Does part of you still worry that there's a stigma attached to saying, I'm depressed, I have anxiety, I've been diagnosed as something like that? Was that difficult for you to do?
I don't know if it was difficult for me to say it to you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was difficult to follow through and come here today.
Really?
because I wonder who will think I don't have my stuff together. Well, how can he lead if he has those issues?
But see, here's the thing. You've got a track record that shows what kind of leader you are. I mean, if we're just talking about the specifics of the job and what the world sees as sure. quote-unquote leadership,
sure.
to me, nobody can question that because you've got the track record. You led this university through the most difficult transition that it could have gone through. And God had many miracles that happened along the way, but you were the guy at the forefront of that. So there's really, if anybody looks at it, they can't say this guy doesn't lead, can't lead, at least from a world point of view. But I'm guessing the bigger questions are right in here for you, right?
Sure. Sure. And that's the realities of what this does to you.
Mm-hmm.
And a few sermons ago, I actually think it's a few months ago now, Tom Harding, who's my pastor at Alive Wesleyan, a little shout out, talked about he as he rode his bike through the woods, and I think he was riding through Issaquena Trails, that
well, 17.
So my wife's yeah. telling me that I'm off base with my daughter's age. She's 17.
So, but at least she didn't laughing at
yeah.
you. So
thank you.
That's always good. Thank you for your support, dear.
Yes, thank you. But she does say later she loves me, so there you go. I think that he really put this on my brain even before I knew it, that Satan has been riding on my bike and leaning over my shoulder going, you can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
You're not good enough. And adding all of this doubt. And I would wonder how many of us out there are letting Satan ride on our bike. And what I found through this is I need to keep filling my head and my heart with all of this other stuff that God wants for me, not what Satan. He don't want it for me. He just wants to put it on me. God wants me to be positive and energetic, and not that I'm not going to go through stuff, but at the end of the day, he's got me. And so I was I felt so good that somebody actually would say it from the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw that day as him saying, that's a mental health thing. Like, Satan's sitting on your shoulder, like in those cartoons, the Tom and Jerry cartoons.
Right.
I know you watched them.
And, still do.
Yeah, it'd be the red one.
Yeah, the devil and the angel.
And
yeah.
And that's what it felt yeah. like. And still at times I battle that. Like, what? Get off me.
Satan says, you can't do it. You're not good enough.
Yes.
But what does Philippians 4:13 say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
And those are the things that we have to continually put in front of us and to believe.
Yeah.
But even in my darkest moments, I was just separating everything out. I was isolating myself spiritually, mentally, physically.
Yeah. I want to get to this article just briefly because... and this five things that Christians need to know, it's in Relevant magazine. You can find it on Christianity.com. If you just Google five things Christians need to know about depression and anxiety, you'll find this. One of the things that you begin to understand quickly is that the church as a whole has not really found a way to come to grips and how to deal with this, because as number three points out, the Bible doesn't provide easy answers. There's nowhere in the Bible that you can go to where it specifically says, if you are depressed and suffer anxiety, here is the remedy for it. The church has a hard time dealing with this issue, like it has a hard time, quite honestly, with many issues sometimes.
Yeah, because I think because the church is made up of people.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think I'll go back to just God. And I'm talking to myself right now. And it goes back to the song of the control. When I was angry at God, I felt like he didn't want me. And in this song by 10th Avenue North called Control, which his radio plays a lot right now, it says, God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me, even with my mental illness. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me. And it makes it real that even me, even through my darkest days, he's still coming after me. Like, he wants me. And I had gotten to the point where I didn't know. And I started to believe that he didn't. I also thought, I don't even know the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it says in the song, it says, I've had plans shattered and broken, which is exactly where I felt like I was about 6 weeks ago. I had plans. Things I've hoped in, I've fallen through my hands. And then I have to realize he has plans to redeem and restore me. You're behind me and before me. Help me believe that. Because we don't.
Yeah.
I wonder sometimes if that's what the church thinks, because we are the church and we don't want to acknowledge that we have issues.
Mm-hmm.
We think we're all cleaned up and we play church. The last piece of it, it makes me just want to cry out loud, because in the woods when I would walk, I would just crank this song. And I would just say, you want me. Somehow you want me. The King of Heaven wants me. So this world has lost its grip on me. I'm tired of living in everybody else's stuff. All their perceptions. The control that I felt within that. I just want to know what his plan is for me. But at the end of the day, he just wants me. Somehow he wants me. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to live in these words right now. I'm trying to pump this into my brain so that it'll hit my heart, because I'm still struggling. If you were to ask me, there's days I get up in the morning and I just don't know. I don't know.
But you know someone who does.
Yes. Yes. And I believe it. I just have to keep reminding myself that I believe it. And I'm so thankful for all those, again, who've come alongside. I would say this, too, if there's anybody out there who's heard this today, and I apologize for rambling. But I really want people to realize that it's real. And that people want to help you. You're not crazy. You are not weak. And there are ways for you to really reconnect again.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to do that. If somebody wants to contact me and get my information through Dan, I'd love to sit with you. I'll buy you a coffee and we can just sit and talk, and I can share some of the things, and maybe you can help me move along better. It's encouraging for me to talk to people about this.
Let's do this. Let's take one more break and let's come back with a very short segment to wrap it up, and we'll kind of focus on that moving forward, what the future looks like, and then we'll put a wrap on things. How about that?
Let's do it.
This is the Dan Scott Show with our very special guest, Chris Williams, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, Furman fans, it's baseball season. Here at Ingles, we know that as you root for the home team, sometimes you want more than just peanuts and Cracker Jack. And while we do deliver on your favorite ballpark classics, we're proud to offer a packed lineup of everything you need to make your next meal a home run. Ingles, a proud sponsor of Furman Baseball and the official grocery store of Furman Athletics. Go Dins!
Life's healthier when you're backed by a Greenville Health System primary care doctor. Because then, the doctor that has your back is backed by the more than 1,000 physicians and specialists at the region's leading health system, all working together to bring you the right care in the right place at the right time. Great health starts with a GHS primary care doctor, and there are more than 200 of them conveniently located throughout the upstate, ready to see you. Find yours today at ghs.org/mydoctor.
The Atlanta Bread Company wants to make your dining experience as convenient as possible, especially if you're ordering takeout. Go online to atlantabreadcompany.com, place your order there, and pay for it too. Then, when you get to the restaurant at Cherrydale Point, you breeze right by the cash registers and go straight to the pickup counter where your food will be waiting. And speaking of food, try the new Shrimp Po' Boy, a delicious and surprisingly healthy addition to the already great menu. That's the Atlanta Bread Company, Cherrydale Point in Greenville.
Let me tell you something, Cowboy. This rookie can really bring the heat.
He's smoky and spicy with a Chipotle style all his own.
It's a new Montgomery & Chipotle barbecue sauce. Make it a part of your home team.
Available now at your neighborhood grocer or online at CincyFavorites.com.
Well, as you can no doubt tell if you've been watching for a while, it's been a bit of an emotional day for my friend, my brother in Christ. Even though he is a Cubs fan, I still love him. Chris Williams, the athletic director at Southern Wesleyan University, even in the midst of all of this, I got to get that one little shot in. But
we're still the World Series champions.
From, 2 years ago?
Yeah, but we'll take it. Yeah. Me and Coach Reiniga, we got it.
That's fantastic. I hate it. anyway, if you do want more information, if you'll get in touch with me, I'll privately send your contact info to Chris. We don't want to give his information out publicly on the air, especially his phone number or anything like that. But if you'll get in touch with me, I will forward all of that to Chris, and I have a pretty good idea that you'll end up reaching out to folks if they
I would love to
get to you, won't you?
I would love to.
What's the future look like for you right now?
I think to continue to try to figure out how to navigate to mental health, mm-hmm. To learn more about myself and the journey that I'm in, to continue to find the balance with both my kids and my wife, and what's the right things for us, and then just to continue to seek God's plan for us. I don't know what all that means, and we're just praying that he continues to reveal the plans. Mm-hmm. Right now we're just trying to focus on, I don't want to use the word rebuilding, but I would rather say reconnecting, I think, reestablishing, moving forward together in that way. It is better, for sure, but it's not a finished product.
Right. I would say if you've been listening to this today and anything has struck a chord with you, and we have kind of been framing it from a male point of view, because that's who we are and that's what we know. But man, woman, boy, or girl, if any of this has struck a chord with you and you say, that's what I'm going through, you got to seek help. You can't be scared. You can't be embarrassed. Can't be stubborn.
Well, you're going to feel all that. You are.
But you've got to get through it, right? You have to take that step, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yes, yes. Or you need someone to really speak truth and to help you start on that path.
I think that was my wife. I think you've spoken a lot of truth here today.
Yeah, my wife really did that for me and stepped out of her comfort zone, but also went into love mode. And there are people in your own life that can do that for you and will do that for you. Mm-hmm. Still, at the end of the day, I agree with you. You have to allow people to do that and believe that they have your best interest at heart. I will say this too. I've much support at work, in particular, Dr. Joe Brockington, who's my direct report, and my associate AD and Julia Reiniger have been nothing but a gift to me. And so I'm so indebted to them for the willingness to work with me and to cover me at times. And so I hope to be able to carry on with them as we continue to build the things that are happening at Southern Wesleyan.
Rather than me trying to sum it up as we wrap it up, in 30 seconds, the message that you would like to get across to somebody who may be going through this themselves or may know somebody who's going through to this, what's the most important thing you can tell them based on what you've been through the last 2 years and what you're continuing to go through?
God's seeking you. God's seeking you, and He will continue to be right there even when you doubt it. And that He will continue to put people and things in your life to encourage you and to walk you through even the hardest times. And He's asking you to call upon Him and come and pray to Him and to listen. He says, I will seek you and find you when I search for you with all of my heart. It's Jeremiah 29. I just pray that people will continue to seek after Him. I'm working to do that. Mm-hmm. And really what that's done for my own mind and heart is to simplify what we've made super complicated through our busyness and my ego, and that I need to seek Him. Mm-hmm. With everything. I'm not perfect at it, by the way.
And you never will be.
No. I encourage you all, please seek me out if you so would like to talk about this. I would be more than honored to do that with you.
Well, let's make sure that whether it's on air or off, that you and I talk more frequently.
Yes, and again, I thank you so much. I didn't know what I was going to say today. I'm certainly not a professional in these things. I just sincerely believe that I'm supposed to help because I've gone through this. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going through it. And I think in particular in the world of athletics that people need to be aware of burnout and losing your focus on why you're doing what you're doing. So I hope I can be that for people. So I appreciate you all listening, and I would really, I would ask you, I need continued prayer. I just need, even today I've had people text me and just say they're praying for me. That means an awful lot, because I need it. I need it.
Well, I will tell you again, as we say goodbye, first of all, we all need it, but we will continue to pray for you specifically and encourage people to continue to do so. Because ultimately that power is what's going to be the one thing that gets you through this. You can't do it on your own, and you have found that out. But I can't tell you how honored I am that you would seek me out to do this, and not for ratings or to get more people to listen, but because of our friendship and the way that we've developed our relationship in the past, that you would trust me with this. You speaking about it for the first time means more to me than you know. So thank you for being brave enough to come here and bare your soul about something that I know wasn't easy to do.
That's true.
Love you, man.
I'd like to pray to end, if I can.
Absolutely.
It'll help me, too. Jesus, I just pray now that the word spoken today will be helpful to someone. I'm thankful for the opportunity to share my story, which is your story. I'm thankful for people who have come alongside, either quietly or in the shadows or very publicly. I'm thankful. And Jesus, I just pray that you would continue to seek me, that you would continue to seek my friend Dan, that you would continue to seek it, those who are listening today, to let us each know that we are special to you, that you love us, that you would continue to walk with us, and that we would believe. Thank you again for this time. Amen.
Amen. Appreciate you.
Thanks.
Well, we have reached the end of another episode of Vertical View. I want to thank Mr. Dan Scott for allowing me to share this interview from 2018 and for having the heart to allow me to share my story and my battle with depression and anxiety. I'd love you to check out Dan at thedanscottshow.com or follow Dan on Facebook at Dan Scott Speaks, on Twitter at Dan Scott Show, and YouTube at Dan Scott Show. If you love Vertical View, please subscribe, rate, and give us reviews on Spotify, Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, or any of the platforms that you listen or get your podcasts. Also, for more information about me, follow me on Twitter at @VE_executive. And if you'd just like to talk and share your story or your battle with depression and anxiety, I'd love to hear from you too. Until next time, I'll see you at the Vertical View.